Hello and welcome back to the Cliffley Saga special episodes from the Empty Any Podcast. I am Dave Judas.
I'm Morty, and the next episode, the next story, sorry, should I say, was written by a good self, Dave.
It was. This was beautiful. Irresistible You. Yeah, Echo. This one was set in Cliffley. Quite a long story, this one, but it had some good characters, and it had some good good character reading from yourself.
We started sort of giving each other lines to read. It was quite funny.
Yes, and you chose to voice one of the characters in Scouse for some reason.
Yeah, I tend to go to Scouse. It's one voice that I can kind of do, I think, depending on what I'm saying.
I hadn't imagined the character to be Scouse, but it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
Very funny
one, again,
lines in this.
Again, loosely set in Cliffley, would you say?
Yes.
But it's more about, you know, the actual tale. It's a wedding from what I currently...
It's a wedding, yeah. It's a best man being given some drugs to have the courage to do this best man speech. But what he's unaware of is he's actually being given a special love potion, which is... Yes.
What inspired you with... can you remember what inspired you with this one?
I was just thinking of... watching Labyrinth, where they have the masquerade ball. And I was thinking of doing for one of the screenplays I was writing.
Yep.
Jim Reaper was doing a scene at a wedding where everyone is just dancing around like Labyrinth masquerade ball.
Right.
And then I thought, but what if he's singing the song as David Bowie?
Yep.
And he's actually really terrible. But because he's had this potion, everyone thinks it's amazing.
Yes.
And I thought it was quite a funny scene. So I put that into the story. But this one, I love this one just because of... some of the lines you say when you're laughing, it's brilliant. So yeah, this is one of my favourite ones that I've done.
One we've talked about, I think, in the past quite a bit. I enjoyed it, and I hope you do too.
Hope you do too. This is beautiful, irresistible you.
Sorry, I don't mean to read your story.
I love it.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah. Enjoy.
Dave Judas. The Empty-Headed Podcast.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
The people in attendance stood and applauded at the newlywed Mr. and Mrs. Botton. They shared their first kiss as a legally married couple and posed for photographs for friends, family, and the overpriced photographer that had been booked for the day as confetti and other annoying tiny bits of paper filled the air around them.
I hope it was biodegradable.
Hopefully. Stood out of sight at the back of the Rosewood Suite in the hotel where the wedding was taking place was Jeffrey Raymond, lifelong friend of the happy couple. Jeffrey was a good-looking man, but was quite shy, especially at large gatherings like this. So he had chosen to stand out of the way at the back, as unlike most of the guests, he had come alone. Everyone else seemed to be paired up, except for one of the bridesmaids, and possibly two or three other women. At least that's what you could tell from his short reconnaissance.
Ooh.
The bride and groom, Tilly and Peter Botton, made their way past the guests, pausing to shake hands, receive kisses and congratulations, and out into the entrance to the Rosewood Suite near the bar area. "Congratulations, Pete, Tilly," Jeffrey said as he approached the couple, shaking Peter by the hand and kissing Tilly on the cheek. "You look beautiful." "Oh, thank you," Peter joked. "But you're a little late now, Jeff. I'm a taken man." Jeffrey laughed. Yeah, my loss, eh? So... any single ladies here today? Everyone looks to be paired up. Tilly scanned the room.
Well, one of my bridesmaids isn't seeing anyone. Caitlin and Fiona aren't either. And Sam has just split up with her fella and is on the rebound. So if you fancied a one-nighter, she'd be your best bet.
Jeffrey had followed Tilly's hand as she pointed discreetly to the ladies she had mentioned. All standing by the bar with a drink in their hand as corks began to pop around them from various bottles of champagnes being opened. Each of the ladies were beautiful in their own way. He would be very happy to start something up with any of them, although he wasn't really looking for a one-night thing, so would probably avoid Sam if he was to attempt to strike up a conversation.
He's got some morals.
And make a move later in the evening. "Right, mate," Peter began as he and Tilly turned to leave. "I'm going to go consummate the shit out of this." He slapped Tilly on the bottom, who let out a playful laugh and lifted her dress to reveal a sexy blue garter. "Good luck with the woman, mate. Hope you're ready for my speech." The newlyweds left down the corridor and turned up the stairs to head off to the bridal suite to make nasty. Jeffrey headed to the bar to order a drink, He thought he may as well mingle a little and get to know a few more of Peter and Tilly's friends, the ones he didn't recognise. Truth be told, he only knew four of the other guests. Simon and Dave, a gay couple who both worked for the RSPCA, and Janet and Will, who ran the local pub, the Frog and Fiddle. Geoffrey ordered a Jack and Coke, his go-to drink. He never liked drinking lager, made him too gassy, and Geoffrey suffered from some pretty nasty smelling gas, like your mate before.
Yeah.
So that was a definite no-go this evening. He only ever drank cider in the summer, sitting outside in the blazing sun. This wedding was taking place on a chilly autumnal day. Grey overcast skies had been present all morning so far, but luckily the rain had stayed away for the photographer to get a few pictures outside the hotel, in the hotel grounds and by the canal at the rear of the hotel. Geoffrey had a quick catch-up with Simon and Dave before making a beeline for the single bridesmaid that Tilly had pointed out, Jasmine.
Jasmine.
Hiya, Jasmine, isn't it? I'm Geoffrey, I'm an old friend of Peter and Tilly. They shook hands. I have to say, the dresses you're all wearing are absolutely stunning. Good line, he thought to himself.
What a charmer.
Good line, he thought to himself. Include all the bridesmaids in the compliment rather than just her. Don't want to make it too obvious that I'm interested. The two spoke for a while longer, sharing funny stories of the newlyweds and asking the usual questions people would ask whilst getting to know someone they've only just met, like what they do for a living and where they're from. Jasmine politely said see you later to Geoffrey as she had to go do some bridesmaid jobs for Tilly before the wedding dinner, which was just about to begin. For the short time he had been talking to her, he really liked Jasmine and would like to get to know more about her later in the evening. He might even try to join her for the first dance now that the ice had been broken. He finished his drink and headed off to the toilet for a quick wee before taking his place at his designated table for the meal. Geoffrey was piss proud, which to those of you who don't know means that he wasn't able to urinate at a urinal when somebody else was in the toilet with him.
Stage fright.
Stage fright. There's a proper name for that as well, which I can't remember. I looked it up.
Shy bladder.
Luckily, the toilet was empty. He zipped down his fly and began a steady flow onto the urinal cakes below. He was about halfway through when the toilet door opened. A tall fella in a brown suit walked in and stood at the urinal next to him. The brown suit, Geoffrey knew, must belong to one of Pete's groomsmen, as they had all been wearing brown at the ceremony. Geoffrey tried to get a look at the fella's face out of the corner of his eye. He didn't want to give him the impression that he was trying to get a sneaky look at his cock. Nothing more awkward than that in a gent's toilet. Could invite all sorts of unwanted trouble.
Nice day so far,
the man next to him said. He recognised the voice.
Looking forward to the night, do? The band they've booked are meant to be shit hot.
The man, Geoffrey could now see, had smiled and turned to face him. He responded with a smile of his own and turned to face him, still making sure not to glance down at the mystery cock that was now being shaken once, twice, three times. Oh, hiya, Gavin. It was Gavin Cock, Peter's best man. Gavin zipped up his fly and headed to the sink to wash his hands. Geoffrey stood in silence, unable to finish his wee. Please don't talk to me, please don't talk to me, he thought to himself. Gavin washed his hands, dried them on a paper towel, and sat on the edge of the sink. Bollocks.
Couldn't help but notice you're talking to Jasmine at the bar. She's a lovely girl, isn't she?
Oh yeah, she's nice. I never met her before today. God, this could go on forever, Geoffrey thought to himself. He had no choice but to act like he had finished his wee, so pretended to shake off and zip up his fly.
Yeah, she's great. Look, mate, it kind of goes without saying, but do you know the tradition, don't you? The best man gets off with the bridesmaid.
Usually the chief bridesmaid, isn't it? The maid of honour? Geoffrey questioned as he washed his hands.
Yeah, I suppose so. Usually, but Tilly's maid of honour is married to Barry, and the other two are married as well. Jasmine's the only one available, so you know, needs must.
Geoffrey dried his hands with a paper towel and was just about to put it in the bin as Gavin stood up from the sink and stood in his way in front of the bin.
Look, Geoff, I'm going to tap that, okay? So just take this as a friendly hands off, okay?
He tapped Geoffrey on the shoulder. Gavin Cock, your surname is most befitting. Hey, no problem, Gavin, mate. It was just a chat, you know. She's out of my league anyway, Geoffrey said with a laugh, trying to lighten the mood. But all he got was a smug reply from Gavin as he left the toilet.
Well, yeah, you got that right.
Good luck with your speech. What a prick. Just like he was at school with Katrina Goddard.
Jeffrey.
He sounds like a prick, doesn't he?
He does. I like the voice that he puts in there.
I don't know what it is.
Hopefully they remember it.
I'll try.
Like I'll try to remember the other side. Just like at school with Katrina Goddard, Jeffrey quickly finished his wee in the cubicle in case anyone else entered and left to check which table he would be sitting on for the wedding dinner. Table 4. Excellent. He was sat with Simon, Dave, Janet and Will, all people he knew. The sixth person on the table, and who Jeffrey would be sitting next to, was Sam, the friend Tilly had mentioned that was on the rebound. This should be interesting. Peter and Tilly were stood at the doorway leading into the banquet hall, greeting the guests as they made their way to the tables. Congratulations again, you two, Jeffrey said as he kissed Tilly on the cheek and shook Peter by the hand. Peter, placing a hand on Jeffrey's shoulder, led him to one side slightly. Thanks, mate. Listen, I've got a favour to ask of you, if you don't mind. Not at all. Ask away, Jeffrey said. Well, the band we've booked are running late. Tilly doesn't know, like, and I don't really want to tell her. Don't want her freaking out at something not going to plan. Today of all days. Jeffrey wondered where this was going. So I wondered if you wouldn't mind singing a song or two to fill a bit of time, like. I know you used to sing in a band at school. Yeah, years ago, before my balls dropped, Jeffrey thought to himself. Without pausing to think, he said yes, not wanting to upset or possibly offend the bridegroom on his big day. Oh, excellent, mate, Peter said as he embraced Jeffrey. That means a lot, mate. It really does. Just a couple of romantic songs will do. Set the mood. The band were meant to be playing the first dance song. Suppose you could do it if you like. It'd mean a lot to Tilly, I'm sure. Jeffrey nodded. He'd forgotten to bring a gift, to be honest, so said he'd be more than happy to do it as a gift to the happy couple. What's the first dance song then? Jeffrey asked. Perfect by Ed Sheeran. Good song, Jeffrey thought, although a little cheesy. I'm sure the DJ will have the backing track for you. Sure, it should all be okay. Do that for the first dance and then whatever you fancy for the song after. Enjoy the food, mate. He gave Jeffrey the thumbs up and a wink and rejoined Tilly by the door. Oh, mate, your shirt's hanging out, you fly. Jeffrey pointed to the wardrobe malfunction. Peter took note and gave Jeffrey another cheeky wink and thrust it in Tilly's direction. Jeffrey took his seat at the table. He was starting to feel a little anxious now. It had been years since he'd performed in front of anyone, and never at someone's wedding. He didn't want to do this, but he had no choice now. He took out his phone and texted one of his contacts, Spacey. Spacey was an old friend from school that he had kept in contact with a little bit over the years. The contact being any time his other friends or work colleagues decided they wanted some weed to smoke.
Some marijuana.
Yes. Some of the ganj, man. He texted, Hey pal, need a big favour. At a mate's wedding, been asked to sing, not feeling too confident. Got anything for the nerves? Spacey replied in a matter of seconds. He did indeed have something for Jeffrey's nerves. Excellent. Jeffrey told him to come to the hotel in about an hour after all the speeches had been done and the food had been served. Speeches went smoothly. Tilly's dad, Roland, shared the story of his first meeting with Peter, which went down well, and Peter's speech was filled with his love for his new bride. Then came the best man speech from Gavin Cock. Jeffrey smiled a few times during this one, not because any of it was funny, but because the jokes he tried to make all fell on deaf ears.
Getting what he deserves.
Yeah. It was nice seeing the smug look on his face slowly dissolve with each second that passed. The food came just at the right time. Jeffrey was hungry now and just wanted to eat and get off to meet Spacey for his sly joint before he had to sing to this room full of people. He also wanted to get away from Sam, who had managed to go through 2 bottles of wine during the speeches and throughout them had been playing footsie with him under the table and rubbing his thigh. He met Spacey outside the car park. The skies were still grey, but no rain had yet fallen.
Now are they, mate? Doing a song and dance, are we?
Spacey joked as Jeffrey approached. Hiya, Spacey. Yeah, something like that. How much do I owe you? He began to take his wallet out of his pocket, but Spacey stopped him, grabbing his arm and pulling him behind a white Ford van which was parked in the car park.
Listen, I need to tell you that I've stopped with a weed. Had too many coppers sniffing around me flat, and that, so I've had to go down different routes when it comes to me calming methods. I don't know
why I said this. I started like Liverpudlian and now I've gone.
Spacey, brilliant, bringing it to life. Okay, Jeffrey said, confused. You said in your text you could sort me out.
Yeah, I did. And I do rate. I don't do the weed or anything no more. No, what I do is now is even better. Black magic.
It's hard doing an accent and reading a line that you've never seen before, but you're doing fantastic. Black magic. Jeffrey didn't know what to think. It must be as high as a kite.
Yeah, black magic, mate. Potions and shit. Whatever you call it. Natural ingredients and everything. Make a killing with it. The prices people pay for natural stuff these days.
He reached into his pocket and handed Jeffrey a small tube of creamy white liquid.
Liquid confidence. That'll get you through your song, mate. You'll feel amazing, and everyone will think you're amazing until it wears off.
And when will it wear off? Jeffrey asked.
Oh, it'll be done by tomorrow morning. So make the most of it, eh?
Spacey began to walk away. What about your money?
On the house this time, mate. You're doing me a favour by testing it out anyway. Just let me know if it's any good tomorrow night, all right?
Spacey left as Jeffrey stared at the liquid in the tube. This really could be anything. Natural ingredients. There was only one natural ingredient he could think of that resembled this creamy white substance, and there was no way he was going to drink that. No, he thought to himself. Spacey was dodgy, but he'd never do something as sick as that. He placed the tube into his pocket and re-entered the hotel. Time for another drink or two before showtime. The rest of the guests also retired into the bar area for more drinks and more chat. Peter and Tilly had disappeared to the wedding suite again, probably to consummate the marriage some more and rest up before the start of the night do. The afternoon passed quickly. Everyone had enjoyed the speeches and dinner and were very much looking forward to the start of the evening's party. The big moment had finally arrived. Peter and Tilly were waiting to enter the now full disco hall. The DJ nodded to Jeffrey to tell him to take his place on the stage as they were set to enter and begin their first dance at the start of the music. He took a deep breath before secretly downing the tube of Spacey's so-called liquid confidence. The music began. Huge applause erupted as the bride and groom made their way to the dance floor. Tilly, upon seeing Jeffrey standing on stage and not the band, mic in hand, looked generally surprised but gave him a huge warm smile. I found the love for me. Jeffrey began.
Oh dear.
I'm not going to sing it. You get the gist. Slowly, the guests began to join the now dancing newlyweds on the dance floor. Strangely, none of them began to dance. Instead, they all just stood and looked up towards Jeffrey on stage. Peter and Tilly had also now stopped dancing too and were staring up at the lone wedding singer. All weirdness aside, the song went perfectly and led nicely into the second one he had chosen, Pharrell Williams' Happy.
Good song.
Still, no one danced. As the song finished, Jeffrey felt like a total fool. He didn't expect it to go that badly at all. But to his surprise, as he left the stage and walked to the dance floor, everyone began cheering and clapping. They all rushed to surround him and hug him and pat him on the back. He even got a few kisses off some of the female guests and a couple of the male ones. Great, Jeffrey thought to himself. They loved it. I feel amazing. That confidence potion has worked. He made his way through the guests, each one congratulating him on a job well done, and entered the bar area to use the toilet. He was stopped at the entrance by Jasmine. She pulled him into the corridor, out of sight, and pressed him against the wall. You're amazing, you are. She kissed him passionately. Winner, he thought to himself. Hopefully Gavin Cock wasn't around to witness this. Jeffrey pulled away and thanked Jasmine for the compliment, but he was now busting to use the loo. She kissed him again. Perfect, she said as he entered the gents. He couldn't believe his luck. He knew that they'd hit it off when they spoke earlier. He should sing more often. Maybe he'd even start his own band up again. Just before he unzipped his fly, he felt his phone vibrate in his trouser pocket. He checked. 14 missed calls. All from Spacey.
Shit.
Strange. I better call him back after this pee and let him know how much of a success it was. As he turned on the tap to wash his hands, he heard a voice behind him. He turned in shock to see the vicar who had performed the ceremony earlier. He must have stuck around for the rest of the day. Oh, God. Sorry. I mean, Jesus. Sorry. You startled me. Father. Oh, no problem. I can't remember what they said in the vicar at the start. Oh, no problem at all. Here, let me. The vicar took a paper towel in one hand and one of Jeffrey's in the other and began to dry his hands in a rather slow and sensual way. Jeffrey raised an eyebrow.
It's like them chaps you get in the toilets at nightclubs in like Leeds and that.
Bit dodgy, yeah.
Leave him a quid.
Jeffrey raised an eyebrow and looked up at the vicar. You know, I don't really do this. Not at all, in fact. But I'm going to suck your dick. My dick. Geoffrey couldn't believe what he was hearing.
Yes, your dick, for 10 minutes.
Geoffrey pulled his hands away and backed away from the vicar towards the door. My hands are nice and dry now, Father, sir, so thank you very much for that, but I'm not into that sort of thing. Have a nice night. He quickly exited the toilet and walked straight into Jasmine.
For 10 minutes? Sorry. Go on.
There's a true story behind that, which I might explain later. She spun him around and planted him against the corridor wall once more and locked her lips onto his. Oh, God, Jasmine! He pushed away. Look, I'm really sorry, but I have to make a phone call. It's urgent. He sped away down the corridor and out of the fire escape into the yard behind, the yard area behind the hotel where the bins were kept. What the hell was going on? Jasmine looked sober as far as he could tell, as did the crazy vicar. He reached into his pocket, took out his phone and called Spacey. He answered almost immediately.
Oh, Jeff, thank God you answered.
Yes, yeah, sorry, mate. I was on stage doing the song. It went great.
Excellent, mate. I'm happy for you. I am. Listen, has anything strange happened to you at all since you drank the potion?
The question caught Geoffrey off guard. Strange? Well, a lass I quite like I chatted to earlier just put her tongue down my throat a few minutes ago. I think she really liked my singing.
Darn, nice one, mate. Fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And then a few seconds after that, a vicar told me he wanted to suck my dick for 10 minutes.
Shit.
He hung up. Geoffrey called him back. No answer. He tried again several times with the same result until he finally received a text message. It was from Spacey and read,
"Listen, mate, don't flip out or anything, but I think there's a chance I gave you the wrong tube. It wasn't a confidence potion. It was a love potion. A powerful one as well. Now it's important that you avoid anyone who's seen you since you drank it. Because if you don't, they'll be on you like flies. On you like flies around shit, okay, mate? It'll wear off tomorrow in the morning or sometime. I don't... It'll wear off sometime in the morning. around 8 a.m, okay? Okay, mate? Remember, don't let anyone who's... Remember, don't let anyone who's seen you since you drank it see you. Easy enough, eh?
I couldn't have imagined
Spacey.
Spacey's fantastic. You've made him so much better than I ever imagined.
So he shouldn't have drunk a potion, basically, is what that...
Yeah, a love potion instead. Yeah. Avoid shit. Everyone. Avoid anyone who's seen you since you're drinking it.
Shit, mate.
You absolute tosser, Geoffrey thought. Easy enough. Only 100 or so people have fucking seen me since I drank the bloody thing. He threw his phone in an angry rage at one of the biffer bins and watched the screen explode into tiny pieces. How the hell was he going to slip past everyone without being seen? It would have been easy if the gate in the yard wasn't closed and there wasn't lovely rusted barbed wire wrapped around the top of it. He could have climbed it easy and been on his way home. But no, life just isn't that easy. He peeked through the opening in the fire escape. All clear. Here goes. He crept down the corridor past the toilet. The bar was just around the corner and he could hear all the guests chatting away. The band had also arrived now. He could hear them playing back in the disco hall. Gary Glitter's number one track. That's not in the script, but I thought I'd put that in. Getting through the bar was going to be tricky. As the band began to play. But if he stayed focused, it was a straight shot towards the main entrance. And freedom. He could hear two voices speaking.
Jasmine says she snogged him. Amazing kisser he is.
Oh, the lucky bitch. The things I'd do to him. He risked a peek round the corner. It was Caitlin and Fiona, two of Tilly's single friends. If Geoffrey had been a twat like Gavin Cock, he'd probably take full advantage of this love potion and take them up to one of the rooms for a three-way. But no, he was a gentleman and would do no such thing. He hoped he wouldn't look back on this in the coming days and regret the decision. He slowly made his way over to the window where a row of large potted plants were. From here, if he stuck to the wall behind the plants, he should be able to make it to the front door and out. He slowly stuck to the wall, bobbing down as low as he could. Success! He had made it! The happiness didn't last long. The front door was locked. It was at this point that Geoffrey remembered being told that all the guests were booked into rooms for the hotel for the evening. Oh, for fuck's sake! He exclaimed. Unfortunately, Caitlin and Fiona heard this and turned to face Geoffrey as he stood motionless in the main door.
Oh, beautiful, irresistible you, they said in tandem. Shit, Geoffrey ran. He headed through the Rosewood suite and towards the stairs leading up to the rooms. You dropped your Haribo there. Yep. He tripped on the bottom step and fell awkwardly up the next few. They were on top of him in seconds. Caitlin ripped open his shirt, popping all the buttons, and began to caress his chest.
Savages.
Fiona joined in as they both smothered him with kisses. Geoffrey tried his hardest to crawl backwards up the remaining stairs. Listen, ladies, I appreciate the attention, I really do, but I think you might regret this in the morning. They were still stuck to him like moss to a tree. Regret? Have you seen yourself? You're delicious. I just want to eat you like a salted caramel donut. Oh, choose the pinch. Sounds like some other women have just joined in. Geoffrey, without being too forceful, managed to push them away as he reached the top of the stairs. He stood and ran down the corridor and turned left, leaving the horny women on their knees at the top of the stairs, calling after him. Geoffrey desperately tried the doors that he passed, trying to find a place to hide, until he managed to open the door leading into room 13. He closed the door behind him and laid back against it, panting heavily. He was surrounded by total darkness, until a light popped on in the corner of the room. Geoffrey could see a lone figure sitting in the chair.
Hello, Geoff.
It was Gavin Cock. What was he doing sitting all alone up in this room? Gavin, what are you doing up here by yourself? Gavin rose from the chair and slowly moved into the light. He appeared to have been crying. Are you okay, mate? Geoffrey seemed to express legitimate concern.
Yeah, I'm fine now, mate. I'm fine. I was just a little upset. Jasmine told me you'd kissed her, you see?
Oh, shit. Yeah, sorry, mate. But she kind of jumped on me, I swear.
No, it's nothing really, mate. I just got upset, is all, because I realised what an arse I'd been towards you earlier. It was uncalled for, mate. Really. I've just been going through some bad times recently. No excuse to act like a dick. Right?
Geoffrey shook his head. Well, no, mate. Not really. Don't worry about it.
But I do worry about it. But I do worry about it. You're a good man, Geoff. Really.
Geoffrey was shocked at this sudden show of remorse. This must have been a first for Gavin. Maybe he'd had one or too many glasses of champagne. Gavin began to remove his belt. What are you doing? Geoffrey asked. Gavin threw his belt onto the chair, unzipped his trousers and dropped them and his underwear to his ankles to reveal himself to Geoffrey, who stood in shock, still leaning against the door.
I deserve this, Geoffrey.
He turned and leant forward on the chair he had just been sitting on.
I deserve this, and I want it to happen.
He spread his cheeks. Gavin, seriously, what the fuck, man?
Punish me, Geoffrey. Punish me. What is wrong? What is wrong with you? Go on.
Brilliant, mate, brilliant. Oh, for fuck's sake. Geoffrey bolted and left the room. That was an image he would unfortunately take a while to have erased from his mind. He made his way further down the corridor, again trying every door he could, until he found another one that was open. He entered. Running out of ideas, he headed towards a large built-in wardrobe in the room, opened it and shut himself inside. He would simply wait here until morning, when the potion wears off, and leave. What Geoffrey didn't know was he had just entered the bridal suite. Empty for now. After about an hour, Geoffrey heard the door open and close as a light switched on and shone through the slats in the wardrobe. It was Peter and Tilly. They were all over each other. Of all the rooms, he thought to himself.
Happy couple.
God, it's warm in here. Well, that's because of you, hot stuff. Crack a window open. Peter opened the window and began to undress. He embraced Tilly and began to remove her dress. Jerry felt very uncomfortable. Maybe he could head for the window when they got into bed for the inevitable sex and exit that way. Peter and Tilly continued to remove each other's clothes and headed to the bed. Geoffrey decided that now was his chance and opened the wardrobe door. It made a huge creak. Strange how it hadn't happened when he first opened it. Peter and Tilly sat up on the bed and saw Geoffrey crawling on his hands and knees. Oh, Geoff, mate, there you are. Wondered where you'd gone. What are you doing in the wardrobe? Geoffrey stood. It's a long story, mate, but I'd really have to leave. Sooner rather than later would be great. He walked towards the open window. Tilly stood from the bed and walked towards him, blocking his way. She hugged him. Thank you for the songs, Geoff. It meant a lot. It was brilliant. She smiled at him and released him from the hug. Maybe the potion hadn't worked on these two. Maybe they're just too loved up for it to have taken hold of them. Peter echoed Tilly's words and shook his hand. Really good, mate. Thank you. Geoffrey, thinking everything was going to be okay now, soon realised how wrong he was. A pair of handcuffs suddenly slapped around his wrists. Oh, come on. Tilly and Peter walked around Geoffrey, blocking the window and backing him slowly towards the bed. They both reached for his trousers and started to pull them off.
Oh, my God.
He was down to just his underpants, shoes and socks.
Undercrackers.
Listen, you really, really don't want to do this. It's your wedding day. Don't ruin things before they've even started. Wedding day three-way sound good to you, Pete? Sure does, Tilly. They pounced at him. He rolled and fell off the side of the bed. Hands cuffed, he made a dive for the open window. As he soared through the air like some pantless Superman, time seemed to slow. All that awaited Geoffrey now was a 20-foot drop.
Oh, dear.
He did not think this through at all. Fortunately, there were some bushes at ground level to break his fall. Bushes and a spiked fence that separated them from the hotel grounds and the pavement. The spike pierced his right calf.
Oh my God.
Tilly and Peter, naked, looked on from the window at the sight below. Geoffrey sprawled out in the begonias with a spike through his leg. The pain was intense, unlike anything that he'd ever felt before. His screams had drawn some of the guests that were outside having a sick to them. Simon, Dave and Janet. Oh, thank fuck. Help me, please. My fucking leg. Tears streamed down Geoffrey's face. The three onlookers came to his side. Well, help me, please. Rather than help, they each took hold of his pants and attempted to pull them down to reveal his penis. Geoffrey tried his best to fight them off.
Mate, what? Go on.
Hard to do. It's the potions. The potion's fault, man. Hard to do when he was losing blood rapidly from the spike in his leg. Somehow, he managed to pull his leg up off the spike without blackening out. He rolled through the begonias and hobbled onto the pavement and slowly made his escape. Simon, Dave and Janet all stood screaming at Geoffrey to come back and engage in a sordid three-way with two puffs and a landlord. In agony, Geoffrey hobbled for home. With no phone, he couldn't call for an ambulance, which, thinking about it, probably wouldn't be the best idea anyway, as the paramedics would probably try to grab his balls rather than bandage his leg. Desperate, he decided to fling himself down the ditch on the other side of the road across from the hotel and wait for morning. Hopefully, he wouldn't bleed out and die. What a way to go. Spacey was in for it, for damn sure after all this has ended. Laid in the ditch, blood pouring from his leg, the clouds in the night sky finally gave in as the rain began to pour and pour and pour all night long. Geoffrey woke. He must have passed out sometime in the night. No idea what time it was, he slowly attempted to climb up the now sodden ditch. As he made it to the top, he saw a large gathering outside the hotel. Peter and Tilly were about to leave in their wedding car to the airport to go off on their honeymoon. Everyone was cheering them on until they saw Geoffrey. Silence fell on the stunned crowd. Peter sprinted over to Geoffrey's aid. What the fuck has happened to you, mate? Geoffrey couldn't speak, he was shivering that much. The love potion, luckily, had seemed to have run its course. No one attempted to molest him, or kiss him, or anything other than to try to help him. Will called for an ambulance, which arrived and placed Geoffrey onto a stretcher and loaded him in. The paramedics shot him up with morphine as he slipped into unconsciousness once more, this time pain-free. Over the coming months, Geoffrey went through all sorts of rehabilitation. He lost his leg to an infection in the wound and heard that Spacey had disappeared completely, so he wouldn't be able to get any revenge for the potion.
Dumb one.
Peter and Tilly came to visit him every other day after returning from their honeymoon, and one silver lining that came from all this was that Jasmine came to see him and gave him her number and arranged to meet up for drinks when Geoffrey got out of hospital.
That's nice.
He could safely say he would never attend another wedding as long as he lived, and he would never take any substances again to help him overcome his anxiety or nerves. Lesson learned, he thought to himself. The end.
The Empty-Headed Podcast.